I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, and let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17, something that we know very well, at least I hope so. And the Word of God says here, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Please be seated. Of course, this is a verse that we know very well. We hear it every Sunday. We are accustomed to hearing it. And sometimes when you hear something over and over, you run the risk of not paying attention to what it says and overlooking the meaning. In the same way, this can happen when you pray the Lord's Prayer. Your brain is really not engaged. You don't think about what it says, about what it means. This verse speaks about a radical change. And I said last time, because we talked about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said last time that this verse is strange in a way, because it talks about being in Christ. What is that? And we looked at that last time. It speaks about being a new creation. And what does that mean? It speaks about things becoming new. And some translations say all things becoming new. Is that really true? Does that mean that we become perfect and stop sinning? These are all things to be considered when we look at this verse, when we want to understand this verse. Over the last few days, or a few days ago, I was doing some research on the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if you know who they are or what they teach, what they believe. They are a cult. It's a false religion that has departed so far from the teachings of Christianity that they are in error, and we believe that they cannot be a way to salvation. Their teachings are completely false. They have an incorrect understanding of God, of Jesus, of sin, of salvation, and everything else. But as I was researching them, I ran across this article that talks about how, and it was actually advice for young people, it was talking about how to deal with temptation. And they were saying some things that I'd like you to pay attention to. They were saying that if you struggle with temptation, they said that you can win the battle and you can choose to resist temptation. And here's what they said about that. And I'd like you to pay attention to these things. They said, know your weaknesses. Anticipate temptation. Now, of course, they expanded on those. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you a quick list. Strengthen your convictions. Find supportive friends. Avoid circumstances that will make temptation harder to resist. And pray for help. Now, I want to ask you, when you hear this list of things, what do you think about it? Do you think this is good advice? Well, it seems like what they say is good. And those are things that we should probably do. Most of them, there's probably nothing wrong with them. Actually, they could be helpful. But as much as this may be understood as good advice, I believe that they are completely off the mark when it comes to sanctification. Because sanctification does not begin with the things that you can do. Because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. The life of the believer, the new life that we have in the Lord Jesus, is a life that is lived through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be holy, and if we're going to reach sanctification, we're not going to do it through our own strength. These may be good things, but in their proper place. We have to start where it matters, where it's important, where we need to be. The first step to sanctification, I said last time, is to know, to realize that you are in Christ. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Him. You are united with Him. You are one with Him. In a spiritual sense, in a very real sense, in a true sense, you and Christ are one. And that's the first thing, and that's the first step to sanctification. This is a great truth of the Bible. But look what this verse says as we move on. It says, if you are in Christ, so only if this is true, Not if you have, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others, if you have a works righteousness and a works salvation system. Not in that case, but if you truly are in Christ, if you're one with Him, if you're saved, then it says you are a new creation, and then the new has come. Another translation says that all things have become new. So what does it mean to be a new creation? What does it mean to say that all things have become new? Well, it can be a few things, but let's look at just three briefly. One is that you are born again. See, before we're saved, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. The Bible declares this emphatically, and there's no question about that. We are separated from God. But when we come to Jesus for salvation, we are born again. We are a new spiritual being. We are regenerated. But now we're made alive in Christ if we know Him, when we come to Him. Not only are we born again, but it also means that we have a new mind. Do you have a new mind? We have the mind of Christ. And you see the world through the eyes of Christ. Just the way He would look at things, you also look at things. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. And this will impact the way you relate to others and the way you make your important decisions and the ones that don't seem so important. And that's because you have a transformed mind, a new mind. So to be a new creation means to be born again, to have a new mind, but it also means what is plain, what should be obvious to everyone, that it means to live in a new way. Writing to another church, Paul says, "Do not lie to each other. You have put out of your life your old ways. You have now become a new person and are always learning more about Christ. You are being made more like Christ." The question is, how does this translate into everyday life? How do you put out of your life the old things? How do you get rid of the old way? And listen how somebody explained this. Old, dead things are replaced with new things, full of the life and the glory of God. The newborn soul delights in the things of God and hates the things of the world and of the flesh. I want you to listen to this list. I have just started. I'm going to continue it in a second. But I want you to pay attention and see if you see those things in your life. Our purposes, feelings, desires, and understandings are fresh and different. We see the world differently. The Bible seems to be a new book, and though we may have read it before, there is a beauty about it which we never saw before. The whole face of nature seems to us to be changed, and we seem to be in a new world. The heavens and the earth are filled with new wonders, and all things seem now to speak forth the praise of God. There are new feelings toward all people, a new kind of love toward family and friends, a new compassion never before felt for enemies, and a new love for all mankind. The things we once loved, we now detest. The sin we once held on to, we now desire to put away forever. We put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, this is the way a Christian has described the new life. I want to ask you, how much of this do you see in your life? Do you see some of those characteristics? Maybe right now you don't see all of them, but you should at least see some. If you don't see any of those, or maybe you think you see one, or you're not sure, then you have to ask the question, why not? What's going on? This is the change that we expect to see in the children of God, in the lives of those who are born again, who are united to Christ. So it's a time to examine our lives and to be sure that we truly are in Christ, that we truly are saved, that we're on the way to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that the believers in Christ are united to Him. And because they are united to Him, they are also a new creation, which means that you're born again, It means that you have a new mind. It means that you have a new life. I pray that that's a reality in your life today and every day. Amen.